Do you ever notice that in your family, you're the only one who gets blamed when things go wrong, even when you didn't actually cause the problem? And not just in your family relationships, but what about with friends and co-workers? It's like if there's someone to blame, you have "blame me" written across your forehead. And over time, you start trying harder, explaining yourself more, and quietly wondering, why does this keep happening to me? Here's an example. My youngest brother did something when we were kids. I can't remember what right now, but I clearly remember what happened afterward. My mom blamed me using the excuse, "You're the oldest. You should know better." And as much as I tried to explain to my mom it wasn't me, it was my brother, I still got blamed. Then, years later, when my brother was older, he confessed that he was responsible in that situation and that he had caused me to get the blame. So if why you are always the one getting blamed has crossed your mind more than once, this episode is for you. Not to blame anyone, but to start understanding the pattern so you can stop blaming yourself and thinking about the problem. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same pattern, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago. How to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to treat ourselves with more respect. Each week, I share real-life lessons to help you understand yourself better, recognize unhealthy patterns sooner, and stop repeating them, so you can break the cycle instead of passing it on to your children. You'll find a link to the blog post in the show notes if you prefer to read. New episodes drop every Thursday, so hit that subscribe button. And hey, if something here resonates, leaving a quick review helps others find their way here too. And if what I've shared speaks to you, I also send a free weekly newsletter, a one-minute read that's just 100 words, delivered straight to your mailbox every Monday morning, with one reflection on loving yourself more, being your own person, and choosing yourself without guilt. You'll find the link in the show notes. And if this episode resonated with you, there's also a link in the show notes if you'd like to show your appreciation. Either way, I appreciate you being here. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. One of the biggest challenges with scapegoating is that most people don't recognize it as a pattern of behavior. Instead, they experience it as something personal, something flawed about them, that there is something wrong with them. When we hear the word scapegoat, we often picture something like outright bullying or obvious cruelty. But in families and relationships, scapegoating usually goes unnoticed. It's subtle. It's normalized. And because of that, it can take decades for a person to recognize that pattern. At its core, a scapegoat is the person in a family system who gets unconsciously blamed whenever something goes wrong or someone needs to point a finger. Instead of addressing what's actually happening, the blame gets put onto one person who is sensitive, aware, honest, or indifferent in some way. Usually they're empathetic. And here's the tricky part. Scapegoats are rarely the problem people. More often, they're the ones who notice problems, name them, or react to things others would rather turn a blind eye to. So here's the challenge. How do you tell the difference between someone who makes honest mistakes and someone who gets blamed no matter what? Because everyone messes up sometimes. Everyone says the wrong thing or has a bad day. But scapegoating isn't about occasional conflict. It's about pattern responsibility. You might notice that when something goes wrong, eyes automatically turn toward you, or that your reactions are examined more closely than anyone else's, or that you're expected to explain yourself, apologize, or smooth things over, even when you weren't the one who caused the issue. Over time, This creates a deep sense of confusion. You start replaying the conversations in your head. You question your tone. You question your intentions, your memory. You try harder to say the right words, be kinder, stay small, and be more agreeable in the hope that this time, maybe this time, it won't land on you. But instead of resolving the tension, your efforts reinforce the role. And that's what makes scapegoating so difficult to recognize if you're the one. Because the very traits that get someone assigned the scapegoat role, such as empathy, responsibility, and self-reflection, are the same traits that make them ask themselves, what am I doing wrong? If you see yourself as a scapegoat, this isn't about diagnosing anyone in your life or pointing fingers. It's about learning to recognize the patterns of behavior you have been living with in your relationships so you can begin separating who you are from the role you were given. Here's the thing about scapegoat patterns. Even when you start to recognize them, they don't just disappear. I'm 68 years old now. I've done years of healing work, and this week I still felt my heart break when I chose myself over family expectations. Here's what I mean. My one grandson had a hockey game Sunday night, which was out of town. I'd already been to back-to-back late games Friday and Saturday night, plus one earlier that same day. I was feeling exhausted. I still had work to do on my business. I needed rest, and honestly, I needed some space. I said, no, I'm not going, but my husband went. And immediately the voice kicked in. They'll think you don't want to be around them. Oh, look at you. You're the bad grandmother. You're being selfish. My heart was broken, not because I was doing anything wrong, but because the old wiring was still there, telling me I only have value when I'm performing for others, when I'm saying yes, when I'm putting everyone else's needs ahead of my own. But here's what I'm learning about that heartbreak, that guilt. That's not proof that I did something wrong. That's the scapegoat pattern trying to pull me back into a role I've been carrying since childhood. Because the truth is, I couldn't do both. I couldn't take care of myself and meet everyone else's expectations. And for the first time, I chose me. Even though the possible consequences of that decision scared the heck out of me. That voice told me I was being selfish. That fear of becoming the problem, those are scapegoat patterns. It took me decades to recognize them in myself, and I wish I'd learned about them when I was younger. So if you felt them too, here are 5 signs that might help you see what's been happening. Number 1, when something goes wrong, the finger gets pointed at you first. No questions asked. You're expected to explain yourself, fix it, or make things better, even when you weren't the one who caused the problem. And number 2, you feel watched and judged more than others. People pay close attention to your tone, your reactions, and the words you use. You say something casually, and later it gets brought up as evidence of you having an attitude, while someone else can say the exact same thing, and it's no biggie. In other words, things you say get remembered or brought up later, while similar behavior from others is overlooked. And number 3, you're expected to be the understanding one. You're supposed to let things go, be the bigger person, or keep the peace, even when you're the one who's been hurt. And when you don't do that, it feels like you've broken some unspoken rule. Number 4, you second-guess yourself constantly. You replay conversations in your head over and over and wonder if you said the wrong thing or came across the wrong way. Instead of questioning what actually happened, you end up questioning yourself. And number 5, I relate to this one the most. You are damned either way. Saying no feels like letting people down, and saying yes feels like you're abandoning yourself because you've been taught you're supposed to be everything for everyone, including taking care of your own needs somehow. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Say yes and lose yourself. Say no and become the problem. If you've recognized yourself in these signs, you might be wondering why this still shows up in adulthood. That's because scapegoating isn't just something that happens to you. It quietly teaches you the role you've been conditioned to play. When you grow up in a role where you're blamed, watched, or expected to keep the peace, your nervous system learns that safety comes from explaining, fixing, and not rocking the boat. That doesn't magically disappear when you grow up. It follows you into your friendships, workplaces, and even romantic relationships. You may find yourself becoming the responsible one at work, the one who smooths things over, the one who takes the hit when there's tension on a team, or the one who feels uneasy saying no, even when no is reasonable. This isn't because you're choosing the role. It's because it feels familiar. Familiar doesn't mean healthy. It just means well known. And here's something else. If you were scapegoated, there's a good chance your parent was too. These patterns don't start with us, but they can end with us. So if you're thinking, this explains so much about my adult life, there's nothing wrong with you. You adapted early, and those adaptations helped you to survive. The work now isn't to judge yourself for them, but to notice them with compassion and start choosing differently one small moment at a time. And that brings us to how this shows up for our kids. The most important thing you can teach your kids, even adult kids, isn't how to avoid being scapegoated. It's how to recognize it when it happens. Because if you grew up as the family scapegoat, there's a chance your kids are watching similar patterns play out. And the best protection you can give them isn't shielding them from every hard situation. It's teaching them self-awareness. When you start recognizing the scapegoat pattern in yourself, when you notice the automatic guilt, the blame that lands on you first, the feeling that you're always the problem, you're modeling something powerful. You're showing your kids what it looks like to trust your own reality. Kids learn by watching us. When they see you pause and question whether the blame actually belongs to you, they learn to do the same. When they hear you say, "That's not fair," or "I didn't cause that," they learn that noticing unfairness isn't disrespectful, it's honesty. Self-awareness is the skill that lets you see the pattern without drowning in it. I'm going to repeat that because it is so important. Self-awareness is the skill that lets you see the pattern without drowning in it. And when your kids see you practicing that, they learn that they don't have to accept every label, every bit of blame, or every story someone else tells about who they are. You don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to be willing to notice it, name it, and trust what you see. That's the lesson. If this made you stop and think, perfect. Because learning about scapegoating isn't about blaming yourself or blaming your family. It's about understanding why so many situations over the years just didn't make sense to you. When you've spent years being the one who explains, fixes, or keeps the peace, it's easy to start thinking you are the problem. But the roles you play aren't the same as the person you actually are. A role is something you learn to act out, and anything learned can be unlearned. Nothing we discuss today means there's something wrong with you. Instead, it validates what you learned about the ways to get through tough situations that felt confusing or unfair. Those ways helped at the time. Now, you can start to notice them. Awareness doesn't mean you have to change anything. It means you can step back and see the pattern playing out. Look, there it is. That's the blame landing on me again. That's the guilt trying to pull me back. And once you can see it, you realize it's not about who you are. It's about a role you learned. Next week, I'll be discussing how to protect yourself in relationships when you're the family scapegoat, what to do when the pattern shows up, and how to handle the pushback that sometimes comes when you start choosing differently. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly, working through old family dynamics, or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills that help you grow into the person you were meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. So choose just one life lesson from today and try it out this week. That's when things begin to shift. And if you want more life lessons like this, be sure to follow Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. And if no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?